The following is Hagen River's featured talk, Crushing Enterprise App Navigation Issues, from the 2016 UX Immersion Interactions Conference.
Are you ready? You ready? All right, let's go. So we're going to talk about navigation issues, crushing them. Very violent today. We're very violent. And I'm going to start you with an idea, go from violence to serene. This idea that I have, I've talked about this for a few years now. My idea is that the navigation system in your applications is really just its own little tiny application, living inside your broader application, which is doing whatever it does, finance, healthcare, take your pick. But the navigation is this little application that lives in there, and it has basically one task to accomplish, and that is to get the user to the right screen without error quickly. It's an application with only one task. How hard can it be to design, you know? And yet, it's very challenging to get it right. And I think Jared alluded to, you know, our history of looking at websites and web applications coming from what we know about designing websites and the shopping experience, and we have a ton of knowledge about that. So I want to illustrate this by sort of walking through kind of how I see, in my mind, my mental map of how navigation looks on a typical shopping site versus how it looks in an enterprise class application, or really any application. So this is what you might think of as sort of a typical, albeit very small, site map of a shopping site like Amazon. There's this big dot at the top, that's the home page, and there are these little other dots underneath, those are departments, and then all the little pages of products underneath. And so if we talk about someone who's going shopping, I'm gonna go shopping, and I get to Amazon's homepage, there it is at the top, all lit up, and I decide I want to buy some socks. Need socks, bare feet, they're cold. So I head over to the clothing department, and I use my filters and searches, and I look around, and I find a pair of socks, and eventually I get down to a product page. The truth is I probably look at many pairs of socks before I pick, but I find a pair of socks I like, and I say, I'm going to add that to the cart. Toss that puppy in there. I'm not done yet. I also need to get a toy for my dog. So I head over to the pets department, and I look around, and I head down into the toys part of the pets department, and I look around at some toys, I scroll, and I filter, and I look, and I find a toy that I like, and I grab that toy, and I throw that in the cart. And now it's time for me to check out. And so I go to the cart, and I have to give my shipping address, and all of that information, and this is going to be a gift, so I have to gift wrap it and put the tag on it and all that stuff, and then I have to give the payment information, and then I finish the checkout and I'm done. And conceptually, this is shopping. Even as shoppers, we've experienced this. It's this process where you start at the top where there's all the available products, and you winnow down into this place where you have the things you want, and then, you know, as designers, we try to get them to actually make the purchase, and we try to smooth that process so they finish the checkout and they get done. And a lot of the navigation examples that we all have to work from out there are based on this kind of site, a shopping site. But this isn't how I picture navigation when I picture applications. I picture something very different. I don't picture that big flat tree. I'll walk you through this and sort of share my weird little picture. Let's imagine this is an enterprise application, and I'm working at a help desk at a company. So my job is to answer phones and take tickets and solve problems. Okay? And this is the application that I'm using. So I'm sitting at my desk, I log in, and I get to the home page, which is my starting point. And that's great. And my phone rings, and somebody has a problem. So I say, okay, let me take this down. So I pop over to the new ticket wizard, and I type in the person's name and a description of the problem, and the thing might come back with some suggestions, and I say, no, none of those will fix it. So we go to the next part of the wizard, and the user sends me an attachment, and I throw that onto the ticket. I finish chatting with them, and I say, listen, I know who to assign this to. They'll take care of you in a few minutes. I'm going to hang up the phone. We're good. But while I was on the phone, I realized that I never set up the information for those 10 new offices that were added on the second floor. I just thought of it. And so as soon as I hang up the phone, I pop over to the list of locations for my building, and I'm looking at that little circle, that's a list of locations. And I'm looking at these locations, and I go to the second floor stuff, and I hit add, and then I open up this little tiny window for adding, and I add an office, and I add another office, and I add another office. I do this 10 times, 10 offices. And that's good. I took care of that. That was something I remembered I needed to do. And now I think I better go look at my tickets and see what's waiting for me. So I head back to the home page, and it says that I have 15 tickets to deal with. So I go, okay. So I head over to the list of tickets, and up comes my list of tickets that I have to deal with. This looks nothing like shopping. right? I'm bouncing all over the place. And it's on my whim. No one's trying to funnel me into a purchase, right? I got things I got to do. And the things I need from a navigation system are really different. Like a shopping site's trying to sort of direct me to this goal, but the goals here are mine. And I need the navigation system to help me get those things done. It's very different from shopping. So I head over to my list of tickets, and I open up a ticket, and I read it, and I say, huh, I think maybe we did a software install that I need to back out, but let me go look. So I go to the list of all the software installs, and I look at that thing. And again, I'm popping around. I find one that needs to be dealt with. I go back to the list of tickets. I merge all the tickets into one in the merge screen, blah, blah, blah. I jump around all the time. And fundamentally, this is how I see application navigation. It's very, very different from shopping. Each of these, well, that large circle is the homepage, but each of these little middle-sized circles, these are lists of stuff that the user works on. And some of these lists of stuff are interrelated, some are not. The user kind of jumps around between them to accomplish their tasks, and they need to be able to move quickly through the application to get to the information and the data they want. This is not about narrowing. And enterprise applications, in particular, have a lot of screens. I've worked on some with hundreds and even thousands. We got any thousands in the audience? Anybody with an application with 1,000+ screens? Yeah, a couple, hey. Hi, drinks later. I need one. Those are scary. if you sort of break away from your traditional what I know about navigation, how do you start to think about navigation for a big site like this? I have this thing where I say it, and then I get to the summary slide, and I go, damn it, I already said that. It's lunch. I had too much lunch. Now, so shopping is this series of steps that we go through to winnow. You choose categories and subcategories, and it's really just a big filtering process. But enterprise apps are about completing the user's tasks, and that's why we spend so much time studying users and learning about their tasks and figuring out their goals and trying to understand what they're trying to do. And then we have to design a navigation system that supports all that. And that's the trick. So the sort of principles I work from is you've got many screens. If you think of navigation as an application, and every screen has a name, and the screens can sort of be categorized and grouped together by category, and some screens are used more often than others, and some screens are more important than others, you've got this list of screens. Surely you should be able to design an application that will help the user find the right screen quickly. That's fundamentally what you're trying to do with navigation. And then really, the big thing is that once the user gets to the right screen, the navigation system has to get out of the way and let them work. So I thought what I'd do today, since I got the post-lunch slot, is spend a little time. I'm going to tell three stories. And they're all examples of applications I've worked on that had broken navigation systems that we fixed. And I'm going to show you the befores and afters and talk about what we learned from that process. Hopefully there are nuggets embedded in here that will be useful to you. That's my plan. Let me know how it worked out in the reviews, okay? So in our first story, we're going to talk about monsters. Feed me, Seymour. Okay, in particular, I'm talking about navigation systems that just keep growing and growing and growing. Now, this is a little hard to read, so I made a few slides where I kind of zoom in on this a bit. This was an application we worked on, and it has a lot of navigation on the screen. In the top right corner, you can see there are some links for profile and support and all that. And across the top, there's this tab bar with a yellow one that's highlighted. And then on the left, there's this menu called, well, it's not a menu, it's a list of links called actions. Those are all the actions for the page I'm on right now. And then on the bottom, there's a list of recently viewed. So that's the last 10 or so things that the user touched. And then right in the middle, there's a couple of tabs. And these things all taken together are the navigation system for this application. Because basically, the function of all those things on the top and the edges and even the tabs is to get to the user to the place where that thing in the middle is the screen they wanted, right? Or to get them to the next screen, if you like, having gotten here. And so now I'm going to draw a box. Well, I'm not going to draw a box. I'm going to push a button, and that's going to draw a box. And that's the space the user has to actually do their work. Once the navigation system gets them there, that's what's left over for pixels. You want to take a gander at the percentage? How many? Guess? Okay. Yeah, you guys are good. So the navigation system is taking up more than a third of the pixels on the screen. Now, for the moments when I'm trying to get to the screen, that's great. But for the moments when I've gotten to the screen, it's not so great. So they had identified to us that that was a problem, mainly because they were going to be adding another 100 or so screens, and the navigation system was going to get even bigger, and because the density of information in the screens was increasing, and so they were feeling the pain of having these tiny little areas. And so they asked us to help with that. And then we also talked to the users a lot. I actually attended all the training that they had for their software. I sat in on the training classes. It was very interesting. I highly recommend it. So I sat in on the training. I talked to users. I talked to folks in the company. And we came across a whole bunch of problems, but a couple I'll highlight here. One was that you notice on this page where it says select a capital need. You're trying to create something. And on the left, there's no actions links. Those are gone because there aren't any actions here. And we still have the recently viewed, which doesn't really make sense. So there's sort of like wasted space all over the place. Things would be there that didn't need to be there. But it was this sort of pattern that they had that they were using all over the place. And then the other thing we ran into was this little yellow highlight. These are tabs up at the top here. And they were highlighting the current tab-ish, right? Because we're not really on the capital needs screen, which is the main screen of this section of the application. We're on some little subset screen. So we're like in the neighborhood of the capital needs screen. And so they had highlighted the tab, but this just killed the users because they were like, can I click that? It's yellow. It's not blue like the others. Like, what do? I can't go there. How do I get to the screen? And they would agonize over this. And the response from, of course, the developers was, well, how will the user know where they are? You know, we have to tell them where they are. They're lost. Okay. Maybe we can find another way that won't confuse people. I call these kinds of cues like this, this yellow box, these are orientation cues. I mean, navigation has two jobs. It's to get you around, I guess. But while you're moving around, sometimes you need to stay oriented. Where am I? And there are lots of methodologies you can use to help the user be oriented. Highlighting a tab when the tab isn't really the screen is probably one of my least favorite. That's an orientation cue, and we end up with a better one here. I'm going to spare you the agonizing amounts of months of research that we did and talking to users and studies and field work and everything. I'm just going to show you the before and after. So this application's getting bigger. You can see this space in the middle. It has like four boxes in it. You don't really even need to know the details, but this thing scrolled down like four screenfuls. So they were dying for pixels. And the navigation system was killing them. So, and that was with the tabs across the top to break it up. So it was really a struggle for them to try to fit, and they had more information to add. So what we did was we took the entire navigation system and we reworked it into a menu bar. Now, I happen to use the menu bar a lot in enterprise application design. I find it's very flexible, it's compact, it can hold a lot of items, and it does a pretty good job. As with all navigation systems, it has its pluses and minuses, but I felt it was a good fit in this application. So first of all, you can see right away there's a lot more space for the data, which of course the users were thrilled about. Let me walk you through some of the other changes. So on the bottom right is the before, and the top behind it is the after. A few of the things we did, for example, the tabs that were here in the old design, they're still there in the new design. We didn't really change that. It seemed to be working. So the tabs are still there. We changed how they look, but that's it. When we got to the list of actions, instead of having them on the left, we made them into a toolbar. And some of the lists of actions, like this one, were very long, so the toolbar, we had some menus in it. Keep it short. So that's the toolbar up there. This thing where we show the current screen, we got rid of that. The menu bar just shows the top-level menu items. And we didn't try to worry about showing what the current screen was in the menu bar. Instead, what we added was a title to the page that shows the user the title of the page they're currently on. And a tiny little bit of breadcrumbs underneath. Not full breadcrumbs, but just back to the main list you were on before you got to this page, like foreshortened breadcrumbs. And so that took care of our orientation needs. And then we had this section where we had the recently viewed items. And we put that up in the menu bar under a menu item called recent. Now, let me talk about recent menus. Sometimes you will work with users who tend to work with the same small group of stuff for 30 minutes, 60 minutes at a time. Other times you'll work with users who are bouncing all over the place. In this application, it was very common as someone was building a capital need or a purchase order that they would revisit the same four or five objects again and again over the course of the day. And so this menu was something they had added that allowed the user to get quick access to those elements that they would need to complete the work. And it was great. Users loved it. We kept it. We just moved it into the menu bar. Don't run home and say, hey, we need a recent menu, right? Sometimes you need a recent menu. If that's how your users are working, that's great. If your users are taking phone calls and entering data and then passing it to the next person, they are never looking back. They don't need a recent menu. That's not useful to them. For these users in this application, this is what worked. And the other thing I'll have you notice is this first little item in the menu bar where it says capital. This isn't really actually a menu item. It's kind of a tab. It's a weird little tab. If you open it up, there were three things inside: capital, accounting, and admin. These were the three main modules of the whole application. And we're currently in capital. So when you switched between those, the rest of the menu bar would change. And so a good menu bar can probably hold 100 screens. With the switcher, we could get 300 screens or more as they added more modules. And so suddenly we had a navigation system that had room for growth for them. And we also had, now I counted, 95% of the pixels available for the user to actually work, which was a big win. So we took some lessons from this work. We all know as these applications grow, the navigation gets bigger, the features get bigger, there's just more stuff. And so you need to find a navigation solution that doesn't take up a lot of screen real estate. Tabs are not it. I find the menu bar works very, very well. I think there are many ways to show users where they are. You don't have to be obsessed with showing it in the navigation. Page titles are a great orientation cue that you can use. But the big one I learned in this one, and I kind of knew this, but I thought this was a great example, that the data, the reason the user's using the software is to work with the data, not to use your navigation system. So as pleased as I am with my design work there, it needs to be kind of out of the way and not bother users so that they can do their work. Yeah, okay. That was our first story. We're still awake. It's very quiet. Okay. Very quiet out there. Is this rapt attention or dozing? One or two? It's very hard to tell the difference from up here, I'm telling you. Okay, story number two is about trees. They're very menacing, my stories. This might have been a dark time, crushing and monsters and trees. I have been watching Buffy with the kids, so it might be that. Okay, trees. Engineering loves trees, don't they? They just love those things. Oh my God. So many trees to chop down. Okay, so this is a help desk application that I actually worked on. I've actually worked on several now. So in these applications, the users are basically managing tickets. That's all they're doing. It sounds like a terrible job. Sitting at their desk all day, dealing with ticket after ticket. It's like emptying the dishwasher 40 times a day. A never-ending task. It's truly horrible. Okay, so in this thing, it's a tree on the left. I'm going to call it a tree for a minute. Bear with me. I know some of you are correcting me on Slack right now, but it's a tree, okay? And in this application, every screen that was in the application, as engineers love to do, every screen you could get to was in that tree. If it was a screen in the application, it was in the tree. And so you can see that we're in like one section of the tree, and the first one that's there, I can't even see it. It's blue. It's barely blue. It's selected, and that's the screen we're on. And so if you wanted to navigate around, you open and close the tree. You clicked on the screen. You saw it on the right. And this isn't really a tree. It's kind of like it's an accordion, but it behaves like a two-level tree. You know, you have your parents and one set of children under each one. And I actually have to say, if you have to use a tree, better two levels than more. The expand-collapse thing is annoying enough without having to dig down deeper and deeper into it. I'd rather have a long group than whatever. Okay. So the thing about trees is as the tree gets deeper, it's bad because it indents, and so your labels have to get shorter. And as the tree gets longer, it's bad because things scroll. So basically only short, shallow trees work, which is why are you using that? So these guys had a tree, and again, they were adding more screens, and they felt like maybe this wasn't working, and they were right. So I spent some time observing the users of this application, and I discovered something really interesting, which is that users kind of fell into two categories. The first category was the obvious ones I expected, and those were the people who managed tickets. And they only used that part of the tree. They never touched the screens in the rest of the tree. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. Spent some time observing them and learning about them and learning about the product. And as I started to understand the product better, I started to understand that this navigation system was a little crazy. So you're on the home page here. We're in the section called Home, and we're on the first thing there called List of Tickets, which is like the main screen of the whole application. It's kind of in there. And you'll notice, as I'm listing the tickets, there's this column here that says type. And they have these little three-letter abbreviations, INC and CHG and TSK. And if you look on the left in the navigation, you'll see incident management, change management, and task management. Basically, tickets had types. There were different types of tickets. And so if you went to this screen, the list of tickets, you would see all the types together. But all the other four places in the tree, they were just filters on the same list. So if you went to change management, you just saw the change tickets. It was still the same screen. They were just filters. So like, these aren't even separate screens. Like, you've got this whole navigation system. How many screens are actually being used by these users? And the answer was like 8. And they have this enormous navigation system. Most of the time, they were on the list of tickets. Sometimes they filtered. Sometimes they added or edited tickets. And that was kind of it. One of the other things you'll notice is under here, there's a bunch of other screens. There's like change password and update preferences. This is one of the things I really dislike about trees. And there are lots of things I dislike about trees. But the thing about them is they make everything look similar, of the same importance, of the same value. And so the list of tickets is the core screen of this entire application, and it's basically presented to you as of equal importance as change password. And that's, I think, really a place for me in terms of the user understanding the application where trees really fall down. You know, you need to present in navigation a sense to the user of what's important versus what's not. So we started with this group of users who work on tickets. Again, I will not bore you with all the details of the interviews. This was the design we had afterwards, and we used the menu bar again. And you're all going to leave today and say, Hagen says to use the menu bar for everything. It's not true. I'll show you some other examples. We used the menu bar again. We added this big green button to create a ticket because, oh, shoot. All right, I have to go back. There's a key thing that made me crazy here. If you wanted to make a change ticket, because there are different types, you had to first click on change management, and then that would slide up, and then you had to say create a ticket under there. You couldn't just say create a ticket from the top. You had to first navigate to a section of the tree and choose the right create a ticket. And this really messed with the users quite a bit. They had a lot of the wrong kinds of tickets being created. So we added this new big button that said create a ticket, and the first thing it did was say, what kind of ticket do you want to create? Seemed really obvious to me, but they thought I was a genius. Some days it's easy. Some days, not so much. We added that. That was good. And then we basically have this one core screen that is the list of tickets. And frankly, most of the users worked here. We kept the menu items as filters for other flavors of the screen in this mockup. But by the time this thing shipped, those were all gone. We just basically had this list of tickets with some filtering controls. So the user could work on tickets here, make new tickets. Like 80% of the user's work was happening on this screen. And they didn't have to use navigation very much at all, which was great. I worked myself out of a job there. The other thing we did was we added this menu for new. Although we had the big green new button, that was only on that one screen. So if you were on other screens of the product and a phone call came in and you needed to make a new ticket, you need to be able to get to that screen really fast without having to navigate around first. And so we added this menu that lets you create the different types of tickets. And if you didn't know which one you wanted to make, you just said new and it would walk you through it. But if you knew which one you wanted to make, you could jump to it. In environments where users have a lot of interruption, and they have to unexpectedly create new things, I find a new menu is a great benefit to them. It saves them a lot of time. There was an interesting fallout from this, which was users would open the menu and say, oh, I didn't know you could make that. So it kind of became almost a guide to what we could make. And as they added new features to the application and new items appeared in that menu, that helped users, it sort of unlocked some of the features of the product for the users, which was, I acted as if I had totally planned that. Totally planned that. It was awesome. So what about the second group of users? So the rest of the navigation system was taken up with administrative tasks, things for setting up and configuring this piece of software. And at each given installation, there were maybe 2 users who did this, tops. Other than setting it up the first time, they might touch this once a month, twice a month, very rarely in here. So here was this whole application with this dedicated space for stuff that essentially hardly anybody ever used. The other thing was that these users were rarely the help desk people. I mean, they worked in the IT team, but they didn't directly answer phones and deal with tickets. They were more on the back end, and so they didn't even really need a list of tickets. None of that was interesting to them. So what we did for them was we buried it. We buried admin. Up in the corner, there's a little link that says, oh, does this work? Oh, it works. Where's a cat? It says configure, and you click on that link, and you would go to this page. I just have this as a wireframe. I don't know what happened to the final version. But this page is basically just a list of links to every administrative screen there was. And this is kind of how admin is. Like, you come in and there's like one little task that's like 2 screens and then you're done. And so this just lists all of them. They're all in one place. You can just scan the screen, you find them, you do it, and you're done. I wouldn't do this for the people making the tickets, but for the admins, it was great. They could find it all there. They knew if it could be done, it was listed on this page. I call that thing, by the way, a link field, and we'll talk about those tomorrow. So what did I learn? I still hate trees. really hate them. They do make things seem equal, which I don't like. There are screens that are more important than others. The trees, because of all the clicking and opening and closing, it's hard to find targets. You know, in a menu bar, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've seen users move up to the menu bar and you can blindfold them. They know where they're putting their mouse to click on a thing and they open it and they know exactly how far down to go to select an item. But with the tree, because it's scrolling and you expand and collapse, you never know where anything is going to be. And so you're constantly doing this hunting thing. And so it was just really tedious for these poor users to switch between all of six screens. But the big thing I learned here is navigation doesn't have to be the same for all the users of the application, that if you spend some time studying them and how they use it, you can support different use styles. And in this case, we had two really disparate, non-overlapping groups of users, and we created independent navigation systems for them. And as proud as I am of my work, it's okay to bury parts of the navigation so that most people never see it. That's okay. And the new menu was a great, unexpected benefit. All right, that's story number two. Number three, not quite as dire, but I went in one of those once. I don't recommend it. It looks all simple from up here, but when you're down there and it's just a sea of green, good luck. It's Harry Potter all over again. All right, this is our third and final story, although I have a little at the end. The thing about navigation is if you do a bad job of it, users can get really lost, and it can make it hard for them to find what they're looking for. And I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is that there are different ways people approach this little application. Sometimes the user knows exactly what screen they want to get to, and they know what it's called, and they know where it's located, and they just go to the navigation system, and it's really just a matter of how quickly can I click through it. And we spend a lot of time designing for those people. But there are a lot of people who don't know if the screen even exists, and if it does, they're not sure what it's called or where you'd put it, and so they have to browse, search, find. And this, I think, is where a lot of navigation systems fall down. They're really designed around the person who knows what they're doing and not so much around the people who are exploring. And you need to support both. Both frames of mind are going to arrive at your navigation system pretty much every day. So this was a very unusual application that I worked on in manufacturing. Anybody from manufacturing? Yeah. Manufacturing's fun. So this application, after you log in, this is the first screen you see. We're looking at the navigation system. I'm going to bear with me. I have to walk you through a couple of these. I began to refer to these at our first meeting as the big buttons. So the story here was that sometimes people, about 20% of the users were on the factory floor or the loading dock, and they were using this GUI on tablets. And even though they only needed to access a handful of screens, they had to use the navigation system to get there. And so as a result, the navigation system had these enormous buttons. But they were having problems because people were getting lost, and they didn't know how to find things. So you would log in, and you'd get this list of buttons, and you'd tap on one or click one, depending on who you were, and you'd get another list of big buttons. Basically, those first big buttons were all just categories. None of those are screens. None of these are screens either, although you can't tell. It doesn't let you know which ones are screens and which ones are categories. There's no breadcrumbs either, so you can't tell where you've come from, although there is a teeny tiny little back button up there, which caused me much humor, because I'm picturing the guys on the loading dock in their gloves, trying to hit that thing. Like, you made the big buttons and the back button is like 4 pixels high? Seriously? Okay, I have an idea. I know how to make it better. Sometimes you need a consultant to help you. So you would start at the top level and you'd click on a category and you'd get here and you'd click on another category and then you'd get here and you'd just keep clicking through categories until at some point you'd get to your screen. And some of these here are screens and some are categories. But here was the kicker. All of these menus were configured differently at different installations. Every site had their own navigation system. They all used the same methodology for navigating, but they had their own organization of the screens. So reorganizing the navigation system was not going to be an option for me. I had to come up with a system for presenting the navigation system that would support the users. And so these labels, the users picked them. Those horrible, horrible icons, the users picked them. That green back there, somebody put that there because Joe could never find reporting, and so they made it green and told Joe, when you get to this page, hit the green button. Joe. And And this is how they wanted it. The users wanted it like this. I mean, I came in, I was like appalled. Like, please let me design a better system. They were like, no, we like our big buttons. We like the green. Joe needs green. You know, we're good. And I was like, okay, why am I here? What am I going to do? So I started small. I started trying to say, okay, what can I do with what they've got to make it better? And so we just started working with users and making little sketches and mock-ups and showing it to them, and they would get really excited about some of them, and other ones they had no idea what I was talking about. But one of the first things we did, we kept the big buttons. The big buttons live in the product to this day, was we added a breadcrumb menu. And this mock-up is a little small. A couple of the mock-ups you're going to see, it's a little small. We made it big enough to work on a tablet. But not only do we have breadcrumbs, the breadcrumbs are menu items. And that might seem like overkill, except that what I learned in talking to the users was that they tended to work in the same area of the product. So having navigated to a particular screen, it was very likely that they were going to stay in that family of screens, either the parent, the aunts and uncles of that screen, or the great aunts and uncles of that screen, if you will. And so that's why the users could design the navigation system, so they could set that up. And so the guy who worked in the loading dock, once he was on the screen, tended to stay near this screen. And so we made not only breadcrumbs, but a menu that opens up to show you the siblings of the parent of the current screen. So that was our first mock-up. Then they showed me something absolutely blew my mind. So they had this thing called menu search, which, oh, yeah. So the thing about the big buttons, probably inferred this, but let me just say it out front. If you know what screen you're getting to, the big buttons are great, because you're just like tap, tap, tap. But if you don't know what screen you're getting to, you go tap, tap, tap. Tap, back. It's a nightmare to search this menu. It's not browsable, this navigation system. And so they decided to add searching for the menu system, which that seemed like a good idea. The way you got to it was you clicked on the company logo, your company logo, which took me a bit to find, and then you chose menu search. And so I watched a user, I was on the phone one day watching a user using the product, and she searched for consignment. She wanted to go to a screen about consignment. And this is what came up. And I said, I have way underbid this thing. Oh my God, how many screens are in here? we need to talk. And she was totally calm. She was like, and she clicked. I was like, back up, ma'am. And so we went back through it. And she explained it to me, because she's not a designer, so she doesn't know my weird lingo for talking about this. So she's kind of walking me through it. And here's what I learned. All these screens in red, they're all called consignment inventory, and they're all the same screen. You got it yet? And all these things in blue, those are, what were those? I have them written here because I know I couldn't read that. Customer consignment inventory, that's also one screen. And there's a third screen called supplier consignment, which is in very pale yellow. There's only three screens, so my bid was good. Maybe a little good. There's only three screens that match this search. And I thought, why on earth would you show this as search results when there are only three screens that match? But here was the thing. The woman knew she wanted to work on the consignment inventory screen, but she knew that when she was done, she was going to go to purchasing. So she would pick the path to the screen that included purchasing so that when she was done, she could hit the back button twice. To get to the screen. Because otherwise she'd have to go to the home page to the big buttons and go down, 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 and that was tedious. And I had to agree, that was very tedious. This was terrifying. And every single person I saw use this product, this was probably the only time I've ever seen users actively thinking ahead, what am I doing when I'm done with this screen? It was so odd. And they did. They were very actively choosing. Oh, shoot, I didn't mean to click that one. I need to go to Office next. Darn it. Okay. So we talked a lot about removing it. We did a lot of sketches that didn't have it. I ran into a lot of really pissed off users. And frankly, they were very well trained to use it this way. And I argued it was confusing. I argued that new people would need lots of training. Here's what we ended up doing. So if you search for part list, and there are four part list screens, we list the four, and then under them we list the paths to them. Now you can just click on the first thing where it says part list and go to that screen, or manufacturer part list, or supplier part list, or VP part list, and that would take you to each of the four screens directly. I don't actually know what path. I don't know what happened if you hit the back button in that case, but I can't remember anyway. But you could also choose a path if you wanted to. And in later versions, we actually collapsed these down, and the user could open it up if they wanted to be specific about paths, and they could leave it open if that's how they liked the app. But for new people who were coming on board, who are more used to, you know, Google, where there's only you only need to mention a target maybe once in a list instead of 15 times to get to it, that was more comfortable for them. And so we struck a balance between the people who are using the product now and the people who are coming on board. We worked on a ton of other stuff in this piece of software. Navigation was just a small part of the work. It was a really fun project. And when we were done, the navigation system all fit in this little blue bar at the top, and hundreds of screens. And you might think it's a menu bar, but it's not. Okay, there's a couple of menu items there. But what I did here was, up in the top left corner, there's this compass. You know, I really don't like the compass icon, because I worked at Netscape, and that's what they used, and I always thought that was stupid. But that's what they really wanted. They wanted the compass icon. So they had the compass icon in the corner, and when you clicked on that, it opened this thing that I think Jared called it first, a mega menu. And I love that name, mega menu. This is what it opened up. And this is navigation as an application. It's this little application that I stowed away, because I'm busy and I'm working. And when I open this up, now I can go and find the screens I need to get to. And so there's the big buttons. They're a little prettier, and they have prettier icons, but it's still the big buttons for the folks on the floor who want to use it. The breadcrumbs are up here, and I think, oh, let me see. Yep, the breadcrumbs, I have the menu. So they have menus, so you can go back up. Again, we made all of those a little bigger for the factory floor folks. But the breadcrumbs are there, so you can see how you got to this current set of big buttons and move around. Over on the right, we added recent items, because that turned out to be a thing that their users liked. If you did a search, we had our presentation of our results that would expand and collapse to show you the different screens. And we had some help embedded in this whole little navigation system. And then there was a third area, which I didn't even talk about today because I don't have time, which was we did this tree. I did a tree. And it's basically this sitemap. And what I learned from talking to a lot of the folks who sat at the desks was they had arranged the navigation systems so that they only accessed maybe 15 or 20 screens in a given site. And so they would open this up and then open up the sections of the tree that they use, and they just leave them open. And so when they open this, the part of the navigation they needed was right there in front of them, and they would just click, and then they would close the navigation app, and the next time they opened it, the tree's still there open. So now you have navigation that can retain state. It can remember what was the user last navigating to. What did they need to know at that point? It left it exactly as the user last touched it. Huge success. Very, very loved. It was a process. I particularly enjoyed the process here because the users were heavily involved throughout. And my instinct would have been to rip out the whole navigation system and replace it with what I thought was the right thing, you know, based on 25 years of doing this. But I was wrong. The users had a very strong idea about what they wanted. And the design process was about supporting that and making sure that it did a good job of meeting their needs. So I learned, you know, really here, navigation really is an application. I built the application. And it's okay to be unconventional, you know, having the weird search results. It was fine. Figuring out ways to improve on what they did, adding the breadcrumbs, organizing the search results, those things helped them a lot. But I particularly liked using the mega menu in this application because it really could let the users return to navigation again and again between tasks and hold state. So that's my three stories. One more little bit to talk about. So I usually design navigation systems last, after I've done the designs for all the screens in the product, or if the product already exists, after I've worked through all the screens in the product, either redesigning them or just studying them. And most of the clients I work with, and maybe in your organization, the first thing they want to do is navigation. They always tell me that. Let's start with the navigation system. And it's a bit of a fight at the very beginning of a consulting gig, which is always fun to argue with a client right off the bat, but we wait. And the best way I have to explain this is to compare it to writing. So if you're writing a book, you write an outline. An outline is not the finished product, not by far. You start writing and you adjust the outline, and you keep writing and you tweak the outline, and you rearrange the chapters, and you rearrange the outline, and you slash sections, and you cut stuff out and rename things, and you keep writing. And when you're all done, and it's been reviewed and vetted, then you write your introductory section, or your abstract if you're writing a scientific paper, right? And then at the very end, you make the table of contents. Once it's done, and you know where everything is, and nothing's going to move anymore, and you can make the best judgment about how to show the contents of this thing you've created. And for applications, it's the same. I go through first looking at the lists in the application. I make sure I understand what are the things the user's working with. Look at all those lists. Maybe it's customers or tickets or a fleet of cars or financial transactions. It doesn't matter. Look at the lists of stuff. These are like the chapters of the book. Go through them. Make sure each screen is meeting the user's needs. And then for each of these lists, there's going to be a screen, most likely, where you add or edit the thing in the list. Those are all your forms. Go work on those. Fix those up. Get patterns together. Get what you like. Fine-tune your writing, if you will, for the book analogy. And then for every list you've got, you've probably got a chooser. So the user can, on other screens, you know, if you're filling in a form ticket, I need to choose the customer from the customer list. So I need a chooser for the customer list. So I go through and I design all the choosers. And I do all the other little screens, the exports and the imports and the prints and all the little bits that need to be there. And then finally, I work on the homepage. There might be more than one homepage, but I work on that last. That's like the introductory chapter. Now that I know what's all there, I know what's useful, so I can talk about that. And then finally, I turn to the navigation system at the end. Okay, we looked at some cool stuff. I shared stories. Tomorrow is much more about patterns and practice and cool things like that. I'm going to talk about some of the things we discussed today, menu bars and mega menus, but also talk about tabs and a little more about trees and link fields and some other stuff too. But that is what I have for you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Hagen.
Did I finish too quickly? You were all the way back there.
No, you finished fine. You were in good place. Do we have questions for Hagen here? Yes, we have a bunch here. So we have one over here, one up here.
They're
awake. We'll start back there.
Thank you.
Hello, can you say a few words about typography in these applications, which tend to have very tiny type?
You mean
with no hierarchy.
You mean you're talking about in that mega menu that was
just
there?
Just in general.
Of the examples I showed here or across all applications?
Across all applications.
I can't see you, but I'm going to be 50 soon, and I know your pain. So eyesight problems. Yeah, I do find there's a tendency to use small fonts, and the designers love the gray text as opposed to the black. Thanks, guys. Can't see. So you have to look at your users. I mean, certainly in installations where you have a user base that's all in their 40s and 50s, you need to pay special attention to font size and readability. But I always strive for readability where possible. I'll say for the stuff I showed here today, it's been shrunken to fit on the screen, so it's not at actual size. But I often find type is hard to read. Yeah.
So you kind of touched on this with the last example where they were using their application on a mobile device.
Yeah.
So in terms of just, I guess, for this discussion, like a website or a computer application versus a tablet application, are there any things that you tend to do on the tablet versus the website kind of thing? Because you don't necessarily have space for navigation items on a tablet, especially when you have to consider orientations and such.
So tablets are challenging, and I think phones are even more challenging. You end up with a very small screen. You end up with a design that looks a lot like that big button design, where you're sort of drilling down and down and down. There are things I do in mobile. I didn't want to talk about that today, but I would say keep in mind that there are going to be people approaching your mobile navigation system who don't know what they're looking for or where to find it. And just tapping on things and getting to the next level in the navigation is going to be a super frustrating way for them to find it. So at the very least, I would consider a search system, but also interconnecting your screens so that users can move from connected pieces of data to another. So if I was looking at a ticket and the customer was on the ticket, if I could click on the customer to get to that without having to use the navigation system, link your data up so that they don't have to rely on navigation going to that application so much to get there. Mobile's challenging, especially on the phone size.
Yeah, so on that last example, you had to go with the mega menu.
Yes.
But you had alluded to possibly you would have done it differently if you weren't kind of forced to do the mega menu. What would have been your...
Menu bars all the way. No. I find breadcrumbs a little difficult to understand in applications. When you're surfing Amazon and you're filtering down through product, The breadcrumb path makes a lot of sense to me, but the idea that a screen only belongs in one place in an application is very odd to me. To these guys' credit, they thought the screen belonged in 12 places. So at least they had done that. I mean, I find really strict breadcrumbing to be confusing for people, because the truth is you can get to the list of users in your application a lot of different ways. The breadcrumbs in particular, I think I would have moved away from thinking about the application that hierarchically and concentrated more on sort of what are the important work areas that they need to get to and work from that. I probably would have added some home pages there and more of them so that someone who worked in purchasing would sort of go to the home page for purchasing and work from that space. But that's not what these users wanted, so it's okay. Yes. Thank you for pointing, because...
Hello. I have a question about business justification. So you're brought in midway through the process. Do you have any idea what metrics were used earlier in the process to actually justify the cost of overhauling navigation?
Sometimes. So metrics-wise, what folks often look at is fast movement through a series of screens before you work for a while on a screen. That's hard. I find it's hard to use metrics to track down navigation problems. They can kind of give you a scent of the problem, but you need to go watch the users to really get it. Typically, people who call me looked at the metrics after they knew there was a problem, and they found it. They found supporting information.
Right. I guess I was trying to figure out, like, if they did a cost-benefit analysis that it's, you know, would save 10,000 hours of employees' time of navigating through the application so then we can engage in this overhaul.
Certainly sometimes, yeah. I mean, I've worked in applications where there's a lot of data entry, and the time it takes to navigate from screen to screen, you can really measure the cost to users if it's taking too long. A lot of times, companies will wait to fix the navigation system when they're adding a whole bunch of new features, and it's clearly going to break what they've got, and so they think, okay, now's the time to step back and look at it. And I think that's good timing. It's a good time to look at it. But there are definitely places where you can say, you know what, this is killing us, that it's too hard, it's too many steps, and we need to fix it. One clue I always run into is in sales demos. I'll watch, so one of the things I do with clients is sit in on a few sales demos, and I always notice that there are parts the sales guys skip, the parts that they don't want to show anybody. And after the demo, I always say, show me that. And it's the ugly part, and it's usually navigation. It's too many clicks to get to a thing, and they don't want to show that to a customer. And that's a good place for me to start working.
So I was interested in your last point about designing homepage and navigation last, and you mentioned that it's always a fight. So I was wondering if you have recommendations on how to have that conversation with the clients.
So, yeah, it really depends on the client. Sometimes I tell them, okay, we'll design navigation first, and I do this really slapdash job of it, and then tell them that we're gonna revisit it at the end, and they're happy, and I get to work, and then at the end I change everything. I just talk to the engineers and say, don't implement this. Otherwise, they get really mad, and you don't want to make them mad. So sometimes, you know, you just move through it. You give them what they think they need, and you move through it. Other times, you know, I've really talked about, so I'm just thinking about a client I worked with last fall. What I did with them was I designed them like three totally different navigation systems, each with very strong pros and cons. And they were like, we don't know which one to pick. And I said, that's because you don't know yet what the application's going to look like. You can't actually weigh these pros and cons because you don't know yet what's important. We need to finish evaluating the users and the tasks and the goals and making the screens before. You can't decide this now. And so we tabled it, and then we went back to the designs at the end, and we were able to actually, you know, pick amongst one of them and then work with it. It varies a lot by the group you're working with. Sorry, I don't have one answer. Yes.
Yeah, so I was wondering, do you have a rule of thumb kind of indicator that will help us decide if an application is suitable to transition to mobile, as in, you know, tablet or smartphone or what have you?
Some threshold, you mean, for deciding
that?
Yeah,
like, I guess, number of layers in the hierarchy or complexity, anything?
I don't think there are going to be any hard and fast rules. I mean, maybe the best ones are around time. If it's taking the user more than 10 or 15 seconds to get to a screen that they know they're looking for and they know where it is, you've probably got a problem. But you could design different navigation systems to sort of support that better.
I guess I meant more like something that would indicate not to even try going down that path where you say this application is simply not suitable to be a mobile application.
I think that's a much bigger question than just the navigation system. So whether or not to move to mobile, I think you have to start with a discussion about the users and why would a mobile solution be useful to them and how will it help them accomplish their goals and Are they trying to accomplish the same things on mobile that they do at their desktop? I mean, the last example with the folks on the loading dock, they had a very clear need for a set of features to be available to those users. But I argued a lot that we should just, for those users, they should never see the rest of the application, because even if they navigated to those screens, they couldn't do anything with them once they got there. That was for them to decide. I think navigation's part of the argument. Certainly when you start trying to design navigation for a big mobile app and you see how hard it is, that's a good point of discussion with them. But I think, have you answered the question about is it useful, is it usable to these users? Do they have a need for it? That's where you have to start.
Thank you.
One more. Who's the lucky winner? Right down the spotlight.
Yep. Can you speak a little bit about the information architecture side of things? I know we kind of front load our information architecture towards the beginning of the process to try to figure out what it even is. So I understand doing nav at the end, but especially with kind of brand new builds or places where you could just start from scratch or start fresh, can you talk about how those two kind of play together?
Right, so there's a difference between designing your navigation system and thinking about navigation. So in the example of the book, I started with an outline. And I think that's where the information architecture comes in. It's very useful to start thinking about what screens have we got, what's related to one another, how do these fit together, how often does the user visit this screen versus that screen. Those are all part of your outline. You should expect that that will be very fluid and will change a lot over time. The navigation system is the table of contents at the end. It encapsulates the outline and then makes it easy for the user to find something. Thank you, everybody.
For more information and videos from the UX Immersion Interactions Conference, visit our All You Can Learn library at aycl.uie.com. As always, thanks for listening.